Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Happy Tuesday. We're running a day off today, and I apologize for that. Adam, I think we're at an inflection point. This is we're at this point where the economy is sputtering and really showing signs of just unexceptional growth. The Commerce Department last week released the employment numbers. They were actually pretty good. I mean, employment increased by 1.2 million jobs, and the unemployment rate fell, I think, to 10.2%. So we're making progress. That 10.2% equates to when I graduated from college back in 1983, which was a pretty bad job market. But today, to put that amount of people back to work, the economy has to produce the jobs. And right now, the economy is not functioning in a way that it's producing jobs because of the coronavirus. So we're at this inflection point. We don't see sustained economic growth, and this is critical. The issue is not whether we're growing or not, it's whether it's sustained economic growth. We went through this back during the financial crisis, is without the safety net of government support, we don't have a growing economy. And what's happening right now is the government support is very, very extensive. That's the issue, and we saw it play out this weekend. Congress could not agree, both parties could not agree on a fourth round of bailout money. Trump put an executive order out. We're not really sure how this is supposed to work, but I think the plan is that instead of $600 per week in aid for unemployment, it's going to be $400, and that the states need to chip in 25% to help pay for that. The problem as this unfolds is the states are not in the fiscal shape that they were heading into the pandemic. And either I don't know that they have the political will or the financial resources in some cases to make these payments without federal aid. So this is going to put another burden on the states that is going to continue. I mean, the financial erosion that's taking place is part of the problem. But where we're at today, and we're in this back to school season, right? So again, the inflection point is it's not normal, right? So schools are going back. Some are going online. Some are going back into the classroom with social distancing. They're not up to the capacity that they're supposed to be. It's just an odd time. But as it relates to the back to school sales, we expect retail sales to be down just because we don't need to buy the new outfits and all the school supplies if they're working from home. So that's going to have an impact. But I think that the thing that probably hurts the most is college football. I think we're going to see the fall college football season is going to it's going to either be delayed or it's going to be canceled. So we're not clear, but I think the Big Ten announced last night that they're canceling the season. I know they're trying to do this as a coordinated initiative across the five major conferences, and I still don't think they have a total agreement on what they're doing. But really, in order to keep people safe, to the steps that it takes to keep people safe, including social distancing, it's really preventing the gathering of people, and it's going to hurt the economy, and to the tune of $1.5 trillion, the impact in terms of entertainment events in the service industry is just it's a significant part of the economy that's still affected. So until there's a real way to control the spread of the virus, we expect these measures to continue to impact growth. The market is looking ahead. The market, we're close to a top, and I know we're going to talk about sectors here in a second, but we don't see a V-shaped recovery in the economy. It's going to be a long recovery, and part of these COVID-affected industries, like airlines, are going to take several years to recover. It's not, even though business travel may be picking up, it's not going to go back to pre-COVID levels immediately. It's going to take a couple years. So let me stop there and just turn it over to you to talk about what we're looking at with equities and then the sector sector models, the core sector models.
Yeah, so just to piggyback on kind of what you're saying here is when we're positioning both models in our equity portfolios, you know, sector allocations really mean a lot. So we wanted to kind of do a refresh on what we're doing across those portfolios right now. So still remaining in that overweight mentality on technology and communication services. So when you're looking at anything really internet-based, and you're looking at the revenues and the earnings growth and those industries, those have been resilient as people continue to use them, despite whether they're working from home or whatever they're really doing, they are relying on some sort of internet-based application.
So what are the big companies in that sector?
So technology is really driven by Apple and Microsoft. They make up almost 50% of the tech sector right now. And then when you're looking at communication services, that's really your internet, that's your Google's, Adobe, those kind of companies that make up that sector. So a little more diverse. Facebook is the second biggest. So, but really, this is just where the old technology was broken apart. The two combined make up over 40% of the S&P right now.
Okay.
So really, that's what you're seeing driving S&P 500 returns over the last several months. Consumer discretionary, we are overweighting slightly. And so this is really driven by what the shape of the index has changed here as well, because you're seeing it now Amazon makes up over 25% of the consumer discretionary. So while there are some subsectors in here that you're talking about that are going to continue to have pain, which are your hotels, your auto, apparel, we think those are outweighed by your internet-based retail companies that are continuing to show, once again, strong sales growth.
Mm-hmm.
One probably bigger change is in healthcare moving to neutral. We've been overweight for the better part of the first half of the year. And really what this comes down to is, one, a lot of the COVID treatments are really baked into the stock valuation. So we've seen the valuation of healthcare spike. But the bigger concern here is going into the election season. A lot of unknowns here, and we know that healthcare is going to be a contentious subject that everyone's going to try to leverage whatever platform they're on. And so we're just concerned that's going to increase volatility. So we're just kind of taking that down a little bit. Real estate continuing to be really underweight here. In our equity portfolios, we don't own REITs at all. And I think the obviousness of this is two things. The index has completely transformed. So where it used to be your Simon Groups and your traditional REITs were in the top. Now your top five are those technology type or communication. So it's cell towers, it's data centers. And a lot of those really don't generate a lot of free cash flow. So valuation is getting stretched there. And then all your other typical retail type REITs are they're tiny in the index now. So
we also have the issue with the office. The office footprint is going to decline, I think, for two reasons. One is that people working from home so companies are going to realize, hey, we don't need to bring people back into the office, so we don't need all this office space. And then the other is the natural ebb and flow of the economic cycle. As the economy slows, which we're going through right now, there's a normal retrenchment in expenses, so companies will pull back on lease expense by cutting their footprint.
Totally. I've heard a lot of people say, well, people want to, they're going to want to go back into the office. And I'm saying they're not going to have a choice. The company's going to realize
that's right.
They have a boatload of money having you work from home and it works.
Yep.
So I agree with that completely. Industrials, we continue to be slightly overweight here. We do not like certain sectors here, which are your airlines. But once again, those have become a smaller and smaller piece of that index. We really like the aerospace and defense, your Lockheed Martin type names. So slightly overweight there. And then lastly, energy. So the caveat here is we are moving to overweight, but you have to remember that the index now makes up only 2.5% of the S&P 500, which is really, to me, is mind-blowing.
Oh, yeah. 15 years ago, it was 15% of the S&P 500.
Right. I mean, Exxon was at least 3% of the S&P 500, and now...
Largest company.
Right. The entire energy index is smaller than that. So when we say we're moving to overweight, we're talking, maybe 3% in our portfolios versus that 2.5%. in the index. But really what we see here is a reversion to the mean. You're seeing more consolidation as companies like Occidental are and Chevron are making acquisitions of the smaller companies. So that should boost some of those smaller companies in energy where the valuations are so
much. What we've been working through is the in our form of democracy and capitalism, where we have shareholder-based oil companies, and we compare that to what Russia, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia have is state-owned oil companies. They can dictate price, and the country can absorb the hit. In a publicly traded security, it's not tolerable to take that hit. And that's really what I think the lessons learned through this our growing oil independence versus OPEC is really what happened. I think this year in the first quarter was a move that when OPEC let prices fall was really a squeeze on our levered business models. And I think what we've got to learn as an industry is whether we can handle that leverage or not and compete globally.
Yeah. I'll wrap up with financials, remaining neutral there. And when we say that, we predominantly like banks and those banks that have survived through the stress test and have not had to cut their dividend. If you look at insurance companies with rates as low as they are, they're going to continue to struggle to show profitability. And then even banks, for that matter, as net interest margins continue to decline, we think it's just going to just be a natural headwind. And they did have a good quarter this last quarter, but that was really driven by all of the fixed income trading, as we talked previously about the massive issuance on the fixed income side in that first half of the year. And that is not going to happen in the second half of the year. So we think that really is behind them and will not help financials, kind of rebound. So moving to neutral there. So that's it on the sector changes. So, anything else to add to?
No, we're working through on the sector issues. I think what we're doing, I don't think there's any sector where we're pounding the table saying we've got to go double overweight this. I think within the tech space, what's been intriguing is there's big tech and small tech. And we started investing in a software ETF that's more small tech and includes investments like Clegg. It has more gaming stocks like Activision and EA Sports, which normally we've stayed away from because the gaming tends to be a little bit more volatile for our appetite. But what else? I mean, in the pandemic, when people are home and kids need something to do, the gaming stocks just lit up.
Yeah.
Clegg's an interesting company from the online education piece of it. And that's one of the larger holdings in this ETF also. So that's the ticker, I think, was IGV on that.
That's right, yep.
And so we're starting to use that in some of the models to help just diversify away from big tech, because the concern is that the big five, you know, we're talking about Facebook, Google, Apple, Amazon. What did I miss? we could put Netflix in there, those companies have done very, very well during this year. And we expect to continue to do well. But when you look at the market cap on Apple now, is almost close to $2 trillion. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just mind boggling how big these companies have gotten. So, it's just, that's my thought. It's just, we're looking at ways to be able to play offense, but still be defensive in the portfolio, if that makes sense.
So then to wrap up my end of fixed income, really a boring week last week. Rates didn't do much of anything. 10 years, 56 basis points. So still really, really low, and still kind of demonstrating in the bond market that they see more risk ahead. On the corporate side, spreads kind of were unchanged as well, but there was more issuance and a lot of issuance out of names that aren't typical and higher rated. So Google came to the market for the first time as I remember. And that's an A-rated bond, and really the performance out of new issuance was phenomenal. It was, mm-hmm. Tighter by 5 basis points as soon as it started trading, and tighter by 10 2 days later. So we have seen some issuance pick up in the corporate world, but once again, that's really a small number compared to what we had the first half of the year.
Yeah, and then on the municipal market, we are combing through portfolios to make sure that what we've got is protected, but we are expecting over the next 5 years that there's going to be a growing challenge in the municipal market with deterioration in aspects of credit, because the burden of support on a lot of these stadiums and convention centers and conference centers is going to be borne by the local governments, that if they don't have their fiscal house in order, it's going to put pressure on financing. So we want to make sure that we've got the exposures are limited, and that what we own is stuff that we believe in. And right now, I think we're pretty clean on all of that. But the other concern is obviously the higher ed, the university bonds. And I think there's going to be the haves and the have-nots. Old schools with endowments with unencumbered endowments, I think are going to be fine. The large endowment back schools, those schools that rely on tuition, they're going to be challenged. So we'll make it through this year, but then after this, it's going to be another challenge. So the real test for higher ed, I think, is going to start in 2021. All right. What else? Anything else that you've got?
I don't know.
Why don't we wrap it up here? You guys have a great week, and we'll talk to you through the week. Thank you.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.